in this chapter distinction between demonic and divine nature. From the very beginning, he starts off listing the divine qualities which makes one happy. He gives a long list of divine qualities, starting with Abhayam, Sattva Samshudir, the divine nature. The person who have divine nature, they are Abhayam. They have no fear. They have no fear of death, because they know they do what they are supposed to do. And some Sattva Samshudir, they are trying to purify their existence, and so on and so forth. And then he very briefly describes the nature of demonic persons. And he says, Dambha, Krodha. He lists certain qualities, Dambho, Darpa, Abhimanascha, Abhiman. They are very proud. The main and the most prominent characteristic of demonic person is that they are very proud. Like today, Acharya Sanskritananda gave me a list of glorious events which took place in Bharatvarsha, in India. But then the title was, Be Proud, Be Very Proud. And he said, cross over this title is stupid. The real title should be, Be Humble, yeah. Be Humble. This is the real quality. And Krishna says that the most prominent, the most outstanding characteristic of a demonic person is Dambha. Dambha means pride. Abhiman means false ego. Means that someone is...
Dambha, hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy. Dambha is also hypocrisy. And but then when we study carefully the list of qualities which Krishna gives for demonic person, we will find out that all these qualities we have. This is the most natural qualities of human being. You know, he says Krodha. Who doesn't have Krodha? Who doesn't get angry? You know, is there anyone who doesn't get angry? No one. Everyone gets angry. Yeah? And everyone is proud. You know, it is said that when Riksha has 2 rupees, he's proud because he's so rich. You know, he has 2 rupees. And when we have some little thing, something, when we get some little education, little money or whatever, we immediately become proud. So, in reality, all these qualities are natural to our very existence. All these qualities are sahaja. They are more or less born with ourselves. And all these qualities we possess. Like I remember when I just started my devotional career, so to speak. I started studying Bhagavad Gita. I gave Bhagavad Gita to one of my friends. And he was very impressed. He read the whole Bhagavad Gita and he was very impressed. But then he said that the chapter he liked the most was the 16th chapter. He said, I read the 16th chapter. And Krishna says in the beginning, this is divine nature, this is demons. He said, I read and I understood, I'm a demon. Understood that's about me. Therefore, he liked it very much. Understood that this is something which has some relation to him, that which is quite relevant. So, when we see, we can understand that all these qualities are natural for us. So, what to do? And Krishna says that if someone has these qualities, if someone is a proud possessor of these glorious qualities, Dambha, Krodha, and so on and so forth, Abhiman, then he says nothing good will happen to him. He explains that all bad things will happen to him, he will go to hell, and he says to Arjuna in the very beginning, don't be afraid, you are not of this nature, you are of divine nature. It means that if somebody has this demonic nature, then he has to be afraid. And it means that we have to be afraid. So the natural and simple question arises, what to do? And how in this world all these good and glorious qualities can be obtained? Abhayam. How can we become Abhayam? How can we become Sattva Samshudhir? By nature, by very nature of our existence, we are opposite. And the answer which Krishna gives in this very important chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is that the only way to become divine, the only way to develop these divine qualities is to follow Shastra. Because by nature we are pashu, we are animals. You know, there are chatushpada pashu and there are dvipada pashu. You know, we have two legs and some animals have four legs. But there is no much difference. The only difference is that when animals live their animal life, they more or less follow the laws of nature. But because we have such a good brain, such an inventive and fertile brain, we always break the laws of nature. This is the only difference. You know, there are animals which follow the law of nature and they are more or less happy. And there are animals who break the laws of nature and they are not happy as a result of this. And therefore, for this dvipada pashu, for two-legged animals, there is Shastra. And everyone has to follow Shastra. Everyone has to know that there is certain rules and regulations which we are supposed to follow. And by following Shastras, we can develop all these good qualities. Without following them, we cannot develop this. Therefore, by describing this very nature of, and this is very simple and very important point of understanding, Shastras are eternal. And Shastras are speaking about eternal truth. And this truth is truth always, all the times, in all circumstances. It's not only truth in Bharatavarsha. It's not that in Bharatavarsha you have to follow the rules, you have to abstain from meat eating and intoxication, and when you come to Russia, you don't have to do this, because these laws don't exist here. No. These laws are eternal. These laws are in the Shastras. And Shastras are eternal, and Shastras are speaking about eternal and absolute truth. But demonic nature, the very sign, the very prominent characteristic of demonic nature is that they want to break, they want to follow, they want to throw up all these laws. They want to follow kama vartate, as Krishna will say later on. He says, they are just following their whims. Whatever I want to do, I will do. You know, this is human nature. Be natural, as they say in Russia or in any other countries. One should be natural. One should relax. One should, you know, all these rules and regulations make someone hang up and, you know, so many problems are there, you know. Why don't you relax and follow your nature? And for that, demonic person, they have to have some philosophy. And in this particular verse, Asatyam Apratishtam Te Jagat Ahura Nishwaram, Krishna explains the theory, the philosophy, the philosophical basis of their existence. Because everyone has to have some philosophical basis. It's not that, you know, if you don't follow anything, you don't have to have philosophy. Everyone has philosophy. Even communists, they also have philosophy, you know. They have so many volumes of philosophy. Also, the whole philosophy, the whole point of this philosophy is to prove that there is nothing really, you know, to follow. But still, to prove this, one has to have philosophy. To prove this very simple and very stupid point, one has to write volumes and volumes and volumes of philosophy. And in this particular verse, Krishna explains what philosophical basis one has to acquire, one has to somehow or other take shelter of, to prove that his way of existence is the only proper way of existence. And he says, he starts off saying, Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahura nishvaram. The first thing which you have to prove, which you have to somehow or other see or to have a vision of, is that this world is unreal. Asatyam. There is no real substance in this world. And there are so many different theories how you can say that there is no substance. Some say that this world is only matter. And to say that this world is a matter is to say that there is no substance. Because matter ultimately has no substance. Matter is dead. Matter is dead either now or in the near future, you know. It will be dead. Matter is, nothing substantial is there. There is no vastu in it. There is no substance in it. Acharya Sanskrit Ananda asked me to use as much Sanskrit as possible, so I follow his request. I don't know Sanskrit, I am murkha. But Since he asked me, I will try.
Since you want to learn.
Since I want to learn, yes. That's right. Since we're supposed to know the language of the Shastras. So, asatyam apratishtam te. Asatyam, first of all, you have to say that there is no real substance, that this world is a dream, that this is kind of illusion. And there are so many theories, so many philosophies which say these things. Mayavadi philosophy or Advaita Vedanta philosophy, which is very prominent nowadays. So also say that this Jagat Mithyam, Jagat Mithyam, that Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithyam, Jagat is Mithyam. It's something unreal. It's something which has no real existence. But Krishna doesn't say this. Some say that this is Vedic philosophy, that in Vedas there is said that this world is Maya, and Maya means illusion, right? But Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the very Bhagavad Gita, he says, Maya dyakshena prakritih, suyate sacharacharah, Maya dyakshena prakritih, this whole prakriti is working under my direction, under my supervision. And we know that Krishna, his word is satya sankalpa. Whatever he says, whatever he wants, is truth. Satya Sankalpa, whatever he wishes, it becomes truth. Satyam. And this world is the creation of the Lord. How the creation of the of someone who is Satyam can be Mithyam. It's also Satyam. Asatyam apratishtam te. And then, when we say that there is no basis, there is no truth, there is no real substance, there is no reality in this world, then very naturally you can make next conclusion, apratishtam. And apratishtam, if you translate it into a modern language, if you translate it into a language of the modern science, it's to say that everything is relative. You know, there is this relativity theory, famous theory of the 20th century, you know, the greatest theory. Everything is relative. There is nothing really, really substantial. Apratishtam. There is no basis of anything. And the main relative thing which you have to prove, the main relative point, the main point of relativity, of course, you know, everything is relative, everything is just, you know, moving in different directions, but in reality what you want to prove, what we want to prove, what all we want to prove, is that there is no pratishtam, there is no basis for morality, for dharma. Dharma, adharma, here it's dharma, there it's adharma, you know, everything is relative. You know, you just follow whatever you like to follow, more or less, and everything will be fine. You know, this is dharma here, this is adharma here, you know. We should be realistic, we should be, you know, practical. Yeah, we should be practical. Adharma, adharma, doesn't matter. Apratishtam. Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahura nishwaram. They say, jagat ahura nishwaram. There is no Ishvara. And ultimately you have to say, there is no God. There is no God, there is no controller. And who is controller? Naturally, I'm controller, you know. If there is no other controller, I have to control. You know, as they say in Russia, one has to be, you know, a lord of one's own destiny. You know, you have your destiny, you have to lord it over, you have to go through it, push through it, you know, grab it, do something. Because there is no satyam, there is no truth, there is no pratishtam, there is no absolute truth, there is no dharma. You can do whatever you want, you can behave whatever you like, you know. And then, aparasparam sambhutam. Aparasparam sambhutam, this is interesting. This is also, Baladev Vidya Bhushan explains that aparasparam sambhutam, this is the theory of Buddhists. Svabhava Vada, he says. Svabhava Vada is that this world is somehow rather naturally appeared, without any real cause. Aparasparam, no cause, no female, male, you know, some naturally, some affinity is there. I had a scientific career as a chemist, and there is a chemical term, affinity. You know, and they say that this world, you know, everything has some affinity with each other. And because of this affinity, all these forms are created. These forms of this world, because of the affinity, somehow or other, they have natural, how you say it?
Akarshanam.
Akarshanam, yeah, akarshanam. Akarshanam. natural attraction. And some natural attraction creates different forms and different manifestations of this material world. Svabhava vada. It's just some naturally something we have, you know, just naturally, and you know. But the most important and most amazing thing, after proving that there is no substance, that there is no dharma, that there is no reality in this world, what they do, they start enjoying this reality like anything. Like Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, they say that this is a dream, but they're very expert in enjoying this dream. You know, there is no substance in dream. You cannot really enjoy any dream. But you enjoy this dream because there is no substance. And then they say the main point, kama hai to kama. The real cause of this material world is kama, is lust. Kama, which we have in our heart, and therefore we have to follow this kama. The main cause of this creation is kama, kama hai to kama. This is the theory of Charvak Muni. Charvaka Muni says that lust and only lust is the real cause of this creation. There is no other cause, just lust. You so be lusty, you know, be lusty. Enjoy it. Like when I was in India, you know, there was a big billboard, advertising board of the new cinema, The End of Innocence, you know, and it was a very seductive picture of man and woman, you know, and I was thinking, you know, the end of innocence, the beginning of nonsense, you know. and there is the end of innocence, the nonsense start, you know. Kama hai to kama. Kama hai to kama. Naturally, you will become lusty, and when you are lusty, you start doing nonsense. You start doing all kinds of nasty things. And because of doing nasty things, ultimately you will go to hell. And of course, there is no substance in hell, but you will suffer there. It's not real, but you will suffer there. So that is the result of such strange and illusory theory. And kama hai to kama, another explanation of this kama hai to kama, they say that creator, some say that there is God, that God has created this world, but they say that he created this God because of his calm, because of his whim, because of his lust, because of his egoistic desire, because of his some selfish desire, some cruel God, you know, and he created this cruel world, and we're suffering in this cruel world. Kama hai to kama. And all this is only necessary to prove or to explain to ourselves that Vartate kama karanam. Nasasidhima vapnati. The result of this, Krishna explains in the end of this chapter. He says that nasasidhima vapnati nasukham na param gatim. How do you say? Yakshastram vidhima srijya. First, you throw out all regulations of shastras. Nasashastram vidhim, yakshastras vidhim utsrijya. All vidhi, all regulations and rules, you throw out utsrijya. Vartate kama karana. You do whatever you want. You do whatever you like. You follow whatever your right leg wants. And, you know. And then vartate kama karana. But the result is this. Nasasidhima vapnati. You don't reach. You don't get the perfection. Nasukham. You don't become happy. Na param gatim. And you don't get the real destination, the higher destination in this world. And actually, what they want when they say kama hai to kama, when they say that this world was created by some cruel and whimsical creature, by some cruel lord who created this world, they basically, what they do, the logic which they follow is that atmavan manyate jagat. I am whimsical. I am lusty. I have kama. So the creator is also whimsical. He is also lusty. And he created this lusty world, and I am living in this lusty world. Kama hai to kama. Atmavan manyate jagat. You see this world how you are. And what actually what they do, by projecting all these ideas, asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahura nishvaram, they basically project the impure heart into the reality of this world. They see this world, we see this world, through the agency of our mind. And if our mind is not pure, then we see all this world is not pure. Like there is a story in Mahabharata. The students approached Dronacharya once. And they say, some people say that Yudhishthira is very pious and Duryodhan is not good, is wicked. You know, is it really true? How to prove it? How to understand that someone is pious and someone is not? And Dronacharya said, I can prove you. It's very simple. And he called Yudhishthira and he said, O Maharaja Yudhishthira, please go out in the world and bring here some wicked man. If you find somebody who is wicked, please bring him here. And then Dronacharya at the same time called Duryodhan. And he said, Duryodhan, oh, Duryodhan, Maharaja, please go out and find somebody good. You know, if you find somebody good, bring him here. And then they went out, and then Maharaja Yudhishthira came, and he said, I couldn't find anyone wicked in this world. Everyone is good. And then Duryodhana came, and he said, I couldn't find anyone good in this world. Everyone is wicked. Everyone is evil. You know. And then Dronacharya said, look, this is the reflection of one's own nature. You see this world as you are. If you are envious, you will see everyone as envious. If you are lusty, you will see everyone is lusty. If you want some honor, some respect, if you have all this pride, then you will see everyone is proud. And if you are humble, you will see everyone is humble. if you follow Shastras, you will see that it is said that Uttama Bhagavata, Mahabhagavata, Uttama Adhikari, he sees everyone engaged in the service of the Lord. And how we see everyone? We see everyone is so bad. You know, we see he's bad and she's bad and he's bad and all of them are bad and devotees are bad and everything is so bad. You know, but this is the reflection, this is the manifestation of our heart. We see our heart as we are. And the only way to purify the heart, the only way to develop godly qualities, divine qualities, is to follow Shastras. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. To follow Shastras, to follow the rules and regulations of the Shastras, and then gradually our heart will be purified. And the Shastras say that Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nameva Kevalam, Kalau Nastieva, 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 Gatiranyatha. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. There are so many statements of the Shastras. And if we examine very clearly Shastras, if we examine the main vidis, main rules and regulations of the Shastras, we will see, as it said in Padma Purana, that smartavyam satatam vishnuh na smartavyam na jatuchit. Vismartavyam na jatuchit. Sarva vidi nishedasyu. Eta yohava kinkara. All the vidis and nishedas of the Shastras, all the rules and regulations of the Shastras are only to remember the Lord, are only to remember Vishnu and never to forget Him. All the rules and regulations, this is the main, the substance, the main essence of all scriptural teachings which is there. You know, there are so many rules, you have to chant this mantra, you have to do this, you have to do this, but the reality is that you have to remember Vishnu. You have to remember Vishnu. Even in Ayurveda, in Ayurvedic scripture, it is said that the medicine will only be effective if by taking the medicine you remember Vishnu. If you don't remember Vishnu, the medicine will have no effect, or will have very little effect. But real essence, the real medicine for the soul is to remember Vishnu. Everything else is superficial. Everything else is not that important. So, therefore, all Shastras, the essence of all Vidis and Ishedas is to remember the Lord. And the best way to remember the Lord is to chant His holy name. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Satatam Kirtayantamam, that the divine, the Mahatmas, Mahatmanas Tumam Partadaivim Prakriti Mashritaha, they took shelter of the divine nature. And taking shelter of the divine nature means Satatam Kirtayantamam. They always constantly engage in Kirtan. They chant holy name, they remember holy name, they do japa. And Krishna says in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he says that, you know, of all the sacrifices, so many sacrifices you can do. You can do big Ashwamedha Yagya, you can do this Yagya, that Yagya, you can do some little Yagya. But the greatest Yagya is what? Japam. If you chant japa, this is the greatest yagya. If you chant holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
There is no greatest yagya. There is no greatest sacrifice. Because by chanting the holy name of the Lord, you're saying, I surrender unto you. You're sacrificing something which is the most dear to you, your false ego. Something which caused so much trouble to you over so many lifetimes. But still, by doing this, you can get rid of the false ego. You can finally become free from this troublesome element of our life, and finally you can become happy. Therefore, this is the essence of the 16th chapter. If you want to become godly, if you want to become divine, you have to follow Shastra. And if you want to follow Shastra, you have to chant the holy name of the Lord. You have to chant and follow the processes of bhakti. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnuk, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. That any process, in fact, any process of the life, whatever you do, starts from shravanam. And if you want to remember about Vishnu, you have to hear about him. Like we're now trying to learn some Sanskrit. And the first process of learning Sanskrit is what? Shravanam. One has to hear. One has to hear. And when one hears enough, then one has to repeat. And the same thing is about Shastras. If we want to follow Shastras, we have to hear Shastra. We have to hear. We have to come and hear Shastras. And when we hear Shastra enough, we have to repeat Shastra to make it clear, to make it very stable in our heart. And when the Shastra is there in our heart, nothing will harm us. We will just go very happily in this life. We follow all these rules and regulations very happily. It's actually very natural. We will understand that there are two natures. And by following our pashu nature, our animal nature, we become unhappy. And by following the other nature which is there in our heart, our divine nature, our real nature, we become happy. And to follow divine nature is to follow Shastra, because Shastra is a reflection of divine nature. Shastra is not relative. Shastra is the reflection of absolute reality. And this absolute reality is reflected in the words of Krishna. Krishna is absolute reality himself, and whatever he says is truth. So we just have to follow Shastras, we have to hear Shastras, we have to remember Shastras, we have to study Shastras, we have to worship Shastras, we have to follow Shastras, we have to understand that all this great Vedic culture, which makes one civilized, which makes one real human being, is based on Shastras. And the more we follow Shastras, the more human we become, and the more happy we become, and the more everything will become Samichinam, Shobanam, Sundaram. Hare Krishna. This is a few words which I could say. One could say much more about this verse, because Krishna afterwards says about the pernicious effects of following this series. He says that actually by following this series, Asatyabham Pratishnam Te Jagatahura Nishwaram, the whole world is destroyed. The very next verse, Ugra Karma. In the very next verse, he says that by following these philosophies, by following this, you create Ugra Karma, and by Ugra Karma, you destroy the whole world. The whole world is destroyed. And what we can see, there is plenty of proof. There is ample of proof of Krishna's word in the reality of this world. By following this deadly course of whimsical, not following any Shastras, one destroys the world. And by destroying the world, nobody becomes happy. And now we were about to destroy the world. You know, this, we're destroying the world. Like Acharya said, that everything is plastic nowadays. Everything is plastic. Everything. Plastic is a very bad thing. Just by plastic itself you can destroy the world, you know. The whole India is covered by plastic, you know, all these small plastic bags, you know, it's soon it will be like this. Everything will be covered and nothing will grow there. And you cannot eat this plastic. You know, it's not eatable. Everything is destroyed. It's destroyed by Ugra Karma, it's destroyed by our lust, it's destroyed by our greed, it's destroyed by our anger, And then we try to find some artificial solutions for this. Some United Nations will make some summit and they will decide, you know, what to do. But it's simple. What to do? To purify the heart. To take care of the ecology of our heart. To purify the environment of our heart. To get rid of kama, krodha, lobha, mada, matsarya, moha. And then this is the only way. Kalau nastieva, 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 gatiranyadha.